are some of your first memories of being principal at Ainslie School?
I think the beauty of the building. It's a beautiful building, and it's quite overwhelming walking into the principal's office because it's got old furniture in, and there were things in the cupboards that go back for a very long time. I have the enrolment books in the cupboards that go back to 1927, and that's quite old for Canberra. It's not old for other parts of Australia, but it's old for Canberra. So that was one thing. The other thing that really struck me when I came to Ainslie was the singing, because I had never heard a school sing with such clarity and volume before in any school. So that was something else that struck me. The amazing students that we have here, you know, you'll find examples of it, are just fantastic. And so those three things I think stand out for me: the beauty of the place, there's a fourth thing, and that's the heritage, the history, all the stories that are within these walls. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this project, to bring out a lot of those stories.
So what knowledge do you have of other people coming to the school? How connected are you with past students?
We have visits from past students quite frequently because they love coming back just to stand in the school and look around, and they tell me stories about their time at the school. They tell me about when the canteen was up in what's now the music room, and they tell me about the planting of the cherry trees, the sakura trees, in 1967. And it was Doug Anthony that did that, who was the then Minister for the Interior. He came to the ceremony where they planted those sakura trees. So when I talked about Lady Lois Hicks before, and she looks at the honour board and tells me stories about that, and she told me a story which I told you a couple of years ago about a little boy called Ian Ray. Now, Ian Ray was ducks of the school in 1937, I think. So he's a very clever little boy. And he wasn't in this school because this part of the school wasn't built until 1938. So he was in the old school. But he played in the playground, and he went to school at that school. So in that part of the school. Now, he went to World War II, and he was injured in the elbow in Papua New Guinea. And they were flying back the injured people, and the plane disappeared. And they didn't, though, so he was listed as missing in action, presumed dead. Now, years later, in the 70s, they found his plane, and they found all the bodies of the missing people. And they went, they had a ceremony to bury the remains up in Papua New Guinea. Now, I told that story on the 11th of November, 2013. And 2 days later, an old man came in through the front door, and I introduced myself. I always like to talk to ex-students, and he was an ex-student, and he told me his name was Alan Ray. And I said to him, "Are you Ian Ray's brother?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I told Ian's story 2 days ago." And he was really touched, and he told me a little bit more about going to Papua New Guinea and collecting Ian's effects and donating them up to the Australian War Memorial. But he was also very involved in the Ainslie Football Club. And if you go up the stairs towards the library, you'll see an Ainslie football jersey. And that was his jersey. And it's got Alan Ray. So I took him upstairs and took a photo of him in front of the jersey. And then the following March, there were some people having a look at the honour board. And I said, "Oh, can I help you at all?" And they said, "Well, where Alan Ray's, one was the son-in-law and the rest were the grandchildren, and they'd come from his memorial service, so he'd just died. So he'd come to the school just a few months before he died to have a look." I think that's a nice story because it shows our school as part of the community and stretching back through time and forward through time as well.